أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله أحمده واستعينه واستهديه واستغفره أشهد لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على كل المسلمين محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due to Allah. I seek him. I seek his assistance. I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, the peace and the blessed be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. All praise due to Allah, and we ask Allah's peace and blessings be on the best among the Prophet Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah, who sent down upon us his book most clear, and later revealed in the last ayah, this day I have completed for you your way of life, and completed my blessings and favor upon you, and chose Al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah, who united the hearts of the believers with Al-Islam and has made it an obligation to remain united and has made it forbidden to become separated in his book, in his clear book. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa for Allah the Most High and obey him. The Muslim believers, again, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum and the Jummah Mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Alladhina atainahum al-kitaba yahlunahu haqqa tilawatihi ulaika yu'minuna. SubhanAllah. You mean new nah. Be he woman kahful yahful. Be he faula ika humul kashirun. Sadaqallahu ad-Din. We say we seek refuge of Allah against the Satan, the accursed. And the Asahi International expression of this is, those to whom we have given the book recite it with its true recital. They believe in it, and whoever disbelieves in it, it is they who are the losers. This is the 121st ayat of the second surah, Al-Baqarah, of the Quran. And we say, surely Allah speaks the truth. Today's Kutbah title, inshallah, the Quran is an ideology. Live the Quran. Live the Quran. And a report of Hadith of Malik, radiallahu anhu, he reported that Muhammad, the peace and prayers be upon him, said, I have left you two matters which you will never lead you astray, as long as you hold on to them. The book of Allah and my traditions, my way. Again, I'm inside of the theme that I believe I'll be with for a while. Though the ayahs I use will change in most cases, I still want to come with the emphasis of the Quran is an ideology. It's the quote I got from Imam Muhammad, radiallahu anhu. The Quran is to be our system of ideas, you know, our standards, you know, our values. I need to put this up somewhere. All right. And when we look at today's subject matter, Allah has opened us, telling us, you know, inside of this ayah, that those whom we have given the book. And when we look at Kitabah, we look at Kitabah, we understand the common meaning is book. This book, the Quran. But we also understand that the Quran on these sheets of paper or inside of an app cannot contain the Quran as a whole. And we also understand that the Quran is bigger than any book could be, physical book. This is why Allah says in the Quran that he brings down the revelation to thy heart by Allah's will. He revealed it upon the heart of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and again he reveals it upon our hearts. And if we believe in something, we say, I believe it with all my heart. And I'm going to have a little bit more about that in a few. So, this heart is the qalb. This card in this was the qalb. And it represents the movements. And when we think of the movements, we think of action. Always moving. I bring this up because the ayat says, recite it with its true recital. Recite it. Now, we know that recite is an action. It's a movement. And it's also translated read. And that's an action. That's a movement. And when we look at this word, yutlanahu, it is commonly referred to in the translations as recite. And in the root is tala. And it means to recite. And we often hear about those who recite the Quran a certain way. And this is what they refer to when they say they recite a certain way. And we often hear, the traditions. We've heard the tradition of Muhammad, peace be upon him, that there were 7 different dialects revealed of the Quran. So this tells us that we would not all sound the same, nor will we look at it the same. This is why it was revealed to each of us by Allah's permission and his mercy. And it starts off with those whom have been given the book, meaning that everybody will not be given the book. Not that the physical book is not for sale in stores or online. And we have copies to give away. What I'm dealing with is the essence of the book, the real Quran. Everyone will not be given the Quran. This is why we can say with one level of understanding, we say recite it with its true recital, and then only think that it refers to those who recite the Quran verbally. Or we can understand that when Allah says to us in the Quran, he it is who has sent down the book, in it are verses basic and fundamental, and they are the foundation of the book, and others are allegorical. Right? We've been taught by Muhammad that the meanings are explicit and implied. So the word tala, it means yes, recite, it means read. And when we understand that what our lives need, this means yes, we must read the Quran. We are Muslims. And for those who are other faiths, then they must read their books. The act of reading, right? The meaning of read is to look at and comprehend the meaning of. So it's already gone from physical to abstract, already. Well, some things in the Quran are easy to do that with, and other things can be just for those who are looking to find their slant in the Quran. Not looking for guidance. We are to read the Quran, for it can change our conditions. It can change our habits. It can change our thoughts. This is the purpose of reading the Quran, because the Quran is for our benefit. It is for our life to become the life it was created to be. And I will say this, there's nothing else in the world that will get our lives straight besides the Word of God. We are dealing with they read and recite it. That's what we're dealing with. So let's read. It also means understand or interpret the nature or significance of. When Allah says in this ayah to recite it with his true recital, this is haqq. Right? When we want to understand something and interpret the nature or the significance of something, we must be looking for the truth of something. We're looking for the meaning of what it is we are reading or reciting. Or looking into. And I'm using these words, one, because they're in the word, they're in the meaning, but I also want to bring us away from the physical thought of it, open our minds to the understanding that reading the Quran in this sense is more about living the Quran. absorbing the Quran. So it says it's true recital. Haqqa, right? We know haqq. Haqq is one of Allah's attributes, el-haqq. Not just the word truth, but the reality of truth. The ultimate truth. Inside of this ayat, it is a genuine, real, a fact. All of these describe Allah, but they don't eliminate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we look at this book from Allah, the final revelation to humanity, we have to understand that it is nothing but pure, authentic guidance inside of it for us. Why would we have been commanded to read it every month in Ramadan if there was no benefit in it? Why would we be commanded at the first revelation to Iqra? Read. Recite. And I say that because if the level some are on is, well, it says read. So that's physical. And this ayah today says read. And it's physical. Even though they're two different words. That they have the same background. We have to get off that physical. The first read, Iqra, was given. And there was no paper, no book. There was nothing physical there. It was the catalyst for our intelligence. Then today's word, dala, is telling us that that read is for the same thing. And I'll show you why. If there is no benefit, then why would we be encouraged to read it every day? If there was no benefit in it for us, why would we be encouraged to read it every day? We have been given water, right? We get water. Water is a blessing from Allah. And we should drink some every day. We should drink a lot every day. Not too much, but a lot. Not overexert ourselves, but a lot. There are benefits in drinking for us, right? Not only our bodies, but the brain. There's benefits of having water in our system for all our organs. The lack of water can cause so many issues for the human body that it can just shut down. You know, the human body is made up of 50 to 60% water for adults. And for babies, it's in the 70% range. Water. Our brain and our hearts are made up of 73% water. This is important to know from the physical aspect, but it's even more important to know in the abstract sense. For us, as the creation of Allah, our lives can be shut down just the same way when there is a lack of water. That's the Quran. You know, water means spirit. It means sensitivities. It means revelation. The symbolism in this that we need these in our lives to survive. The lack of the spirit Allah gave us to make us complete means we still not have not become what our intended goal is in life. As I close this first part, this is why the Quran is so important. This is why the Quran is so important. This is why our obligation is that we move not just our mouths in recitation of the Quran, but we move our lives with the truth of what the Quran is, the complete truth. This is why we have not just tala, right? We don't have that with the physical read and recite. It is the haqq, the truth of the tala. The truth of this word, tala, it also means to follow. Right? So let's look at that. Those to whom we have given the book, they follow the truth as it should be followed. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Live the Quran. Live the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that those who have the book follow it as it should be followed. Study it as it should be studied. This means we are to move with the Quran. Right? That's a physical word. But what are we to move? It is our lives that must be moved. It is our habits, it's our thoughts. our ideas. It is for our lives. If we do not have what we think we want or think we need, then it is one simple reason. We're not living to the full capacity of our life because we're not moving abstractly in full with the Quran. I bring this up because we want to live the best life, right? And by the looks of the world right now, this is not the best life creation could be living. This is telling us that those who have been given the book are not following the book, living by it. It may be that there are too many just reciting it. And I am no way criticizing anyone who recites the Quran. I'm not. That's that top level stuff. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying that if that's all that is happening in the physical aspect when it comes to the Quran, then for one thing, it has not become an ideology. It is a ritual. Once it goes from just a physical thing, you know, reading the 30th a day, and the goal is just to be able to say, I read my Jews. That leaves the point of it all sitting at the starting block. The goal should be to live it for 30 days. And if you do something for 21 days in a row, it becomes a habit. That's science. And I know right now science is getting such a bad rap. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't trust science because they haven't been able really to trust some of the industries that deal with science. But the Quran has science inside of it. The Quran is science. If we want to have the life we say we want individually or as a community, then we have to understand that we have to look inside of ourselves, right? Right? Science. Science. See inside. We have to see inside of ourselves. This is the importance of the focus. Finding our consciousness using scripture that I did. And I might have to come with that for Jumar. Because if we look at science, if we try to see inside of us, if it is not the Quran we see, then we have some work to do. Allah says that those who, you know, Ta'ala, right? The one expression. So in the one expression of haq, in this eye, in another eye, is ought. Instead of saying truth, they say ought. This means, you know, to be used to indicate a duty or correctness. Listen, if we have the Quran, then we ought to be following it. We ought to be studying it because it is our duty. It is what is correct for us. And please understand, I'm speaking to all Muslims. When we look at this world and the state of it, there are places that are under the same filter of shaitan and is considered to be a Muslim country. Even if the Quran is the constitution, it's still under the filter of shaitan. There seem to be some issues because if the law says next, they believe in it. When we look at how life is, then we have to look at if we truly, without any doubt, believe in it. Yamu yaminuna, right? Form four, causative. See, the belief is what causes us to follow it to the letter. The belief is what causes us to live with it to the letter. See, it comes from Amina, right? Amina. That secures us in that unwavering that this type of world can cause. If the last 6 months have not shaken some faith, I don't know what will. We've all had our faith shaken over the last 6 months. I do not know, you know, what else could make us be shaken as much as what's going on right now. And then in some respects, we should have been so secure in it and feel so good about it that we were waiting for something to happen so we could use it to see if we really have it. We're talking about faith. Faith is not only stored up not to be stored up and downstairs in the bomb shelter. Safe is to be stored up and used on a regular basis. It's like the oil in the car. Just sitting there, and when you turn the engine on, now the oil goes to work. to protect the engine and make it do what it's created to do, right? This is what iman, faith, does. When you have a car with no oil, you lock up the engine. If your life has no faith, it's locked up. And this is what's going on right now. All these locked up minds, all these engines running around with no oil inside of them. Then you know the iman, Raleigh Lanier, he said that oil is knowledge that will enter a person and cleanse the inner being. You got to change your oil. You got to change your oil. And the engine is living our life, and it runs on the oil. Then the oil, it turns into knowledge. The Quran is the oil for our engine. So this is what we have inside of us when we believe in the Quran so much that we follow it in truth. Sometimes you have to tell someone, you know, I'm not about that foolishness, right? This is how we should be looking at this world. If this is not about what we have in our book, how we should be living our lives, then we cannot be about that, period. This nonsense, this chaos, this confusion, this hell. How long have these issues gone on, right? We've been talking about ours for over 400 years, but these issues have gone on for time, all as long as man, you know? And the whole time they've gone on, those who had books, not just us, but those who had books who were there just accepted it because they felt it was okay, or they did not want to be involved. I thought about this morning. I said, you know, you wonder why they were able to do what they've done to human beings for over 400 years and get away with it. That's because they were able to have the narrative to tell everybody else in the world, well, this is what they deserve. And everybody else in the world was saying, okay, well, we believe you. So that's the problem with the world. They accepted it. They accepted what was going on. So what did God do? He said, okay, I'll involve the whole world right now. And if there's any good in it, it'll come out. And if there's any bad in it, it's going to come out. It's all out in the open now. We have to let the oil of the Quran into our bodies, and this is the type of belief that will have us living by the book in truth. You know the word tala, it also means to imitate, right? Imitate, follow as a model. Allah says in the Quran that there has certainly been in the message of Allah, an excellent pattern, right? لَكَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, right? أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. When I began, I said this Quran is not just for us to recite, it is for us to live. And many say this, I may say this a lot, but when we look at our model to imitate, again, we do not get caught up in the physical aspects of this. This is why we don't have any images that depict Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his excellent pattern is based on something that is inside of him and is also inside of each one of us. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, what is the character of Muhammad? Now, Allah just answered that question for us. This is why she responded, have you not read the Quran? Allah has already given you his character. His character was the Quran walking. Now, that's physical. We know he wasn't a book that was walking, but he had the oil running through his body. And that oil was the Quran. It was his ideology because he believed in it. The belief was running through his body like that oil. And this is who we are to imitate. We are to imitate the Quran. We are to follow the Quran. When someone comes to us and say, oh, okay, you worship Muhammad, tell them, no, I worship Allah. And the best way to do that is to be just like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means I have the Quran in me. And remember, I said, sometimes you have to tell someone, go ahead with that foolishness. And at that time, that's when you go ahead and you say, peace, salam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said, I have left you two matters which will never lead you astray as long as you hold to them. The book of Allah and the prescribed practices, the ways, the observed ways of his Prophet. The Quran and the practice of the Muhammad, uswatun hasnatun, the excellent pattern, the excellent model. The Quran living life how it's supposed to be lived as our example. That's who Muhammad is. Our goal is not to be Muhammad in the physical form. It is to be another Muhammad in the form of excellence, which upon we are created. We are created in excellence. And it is going through life that brings us the chance to become Muhammad in our character. The ascension, the seven levels, that's going through life. That's what that is. It's not a game board. We can just go and we try to roll doubles and go from level one to level six. That's the reason why we're forbidden to play games of chance. For us to get through every level, we must be willing to go through life as it comes at us. The trials, the tests, the fitna, the ultimate test of faith. Life will let you know if you have the right grade of oil inside of you. Our oil needs to be straight 100% Quran. We don't need 1040. We don't need 530. No, we need 100% Quran. That is truth. We have to live our life by the truth of the life that Allah has set for us. He has given us the necessary guidance for this life. If you want your life to get better, you want your life to be what you think it should be, then you have to be inspired to do that, right? The Quran will inspire you. It inspired Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It inspired all of those who heard him and followed him with the Quran when it was being revealed. It has inspired us over 1,441 years later. We're inspired. But are we where we need to be? A quote from Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu. He said, Allah inspires us in the Quran. Allah inspires us with his words that inspires the knowledge, the revelation, the beauty, the goodness, the purity of his word. All of that inspires us. We seek our inspiration from the guidance of God. That's what inspires us. It is a goal of Allah, and for a lack of any other way to put this, Allah can fulfill all his goals. But his goal was to inspire us in the Quran. Not happy about something, get into the Quran. Need a change in your life, get into the Quran. His words in the Quran will be the inspiration and the knowledge. It is the only way to get that ruh, to get that spirit that he said he will breathe into us. We do not have the ruh until we have gotten all that bad oil out of our system. The Imam said we are to seek our inspiration from the guidance of God. This means the Quran. Yes, read it. Yes, recite it. But the most important thing you can do of reading and reciting is to follow it. Live by it. Let it guide you. The reason why I brought up the ayat earlier when I said that in the verses are basic and fundamental, and they're the foundations of the book, and others are allegorical, because it also says, and as for those whose heart is deviation, they will follow that which is unspecific, seeking discord and seeking an interpretation that suits them. And no one knows his true interpretation except Allah. And let me put this caveat on this one, because I know this is something that the Imam said, and whoever he gives it to. That's first of all. Allah can reveal the meaning of anything to anybody he wants to give it to. And then it says, but those firm in knowledge say, we believe in it. All of it is from our Lord. And no one will be reminded except those of understanding. Some will look for what they want to find and they will say, this is from Allah. Some want to justify their behaviors and their actions saying, I've been reading the Quran. This is not what true following is. This is not what true belief is. Some just want to see how they can get what they want out of it and say, well, I read it in the Quran. See, it is not only those who do not live by the Quran that do not believe in the Quran. It is also those who have possession of it, but are not followers of the real true guidance in it. Allah says, and whoever disbelieves in it, it is they who are the losers. He does not say those of other faiths or those who are against you. He says those who disbelieve, kafara, they are the ones who hide or cover up the truth. What could be worse than having the Quran and lying about it and covering up? And when you do that to yourself, you can do that to yourself, you know. You can have it with you and be covering it up yourself from you. Because as we see, it is not those who do not believe in it, and it is those who are the losers. It's not just those who don't believe in it that are losers. Kasaruna, this is to incur a loss, right? If someone is not following, you know, or not imitating or living the book when they know better, then they are losing. You know, in the root, kasira, it means to wander from the right path. We have been going over the guidance the Quran brings us in our lives. We've been discussing how to move forward in our lives with the knowledge of the Quran. And right now, there are too many people in the world that have wandered from the right path. And it has led us into what we look at today. And you know, I didn't want to say this, but it's very interesting that one of the slogans that we heard is that, if I'm in charge, we'll be winning again. Well, it looks like not only are we losing, but the whole world is losing right now. And for us today in Jummah, I'm here to remind us that we have the winning formula. If Allah's in charge, then we're winning. That's how that's supposed to go. It is the Quran. It is the example we have in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the understanding we've been given from the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad radiallahu anhu. You know, in 1985, he said, we have a chance to build this country back up again. In 1985, he said that. This is that time. With all the turmoil going on, with all the problems we face, the Quran is our book to get through these and many more problems. But is there enough of us that believe in it? Is there enough in us that make it our ideology and really follow it by the truth that it is? You know, I don't want to be a loser. You know, we have a win-all mentality in this country. It's bad. It's a bad situation. But when it comes to this, I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be off the right path. You know, this word also means to be deceived. And we know who the great deceiver is. The world has done a great job at deceiving people. It has done a great job of making those who believe suffer. It also means to be astray. Right? And for some reason, this word, when I saw astray, it kept sticking to me. I kept thinking ashtray. Ashtray. Waste. You just put out the bus in an ashtray. You don't want to be astray. They discard you when you're astray. This is why we say in the 7 oft-repeated verses at the end of Ayah 7, what's the last thing we say? Well, darling. Not those who go astray. We want to be those who are guided, who are not astray. And as I close, look at the language again. Astray, it means away from the correct path or direction, into error or morally questionable behavior. Turn on TV. I don't do it very often no more. Turn on TV and you're going to see some very questionable moral behavior. A lot of astray people in positions that we have to overcome. But when we have Allah, what they got? This world right now is fighting because it is astray. And us and others with their books need to start living and following and making our books our guides. Again, the Quran is an ideology. Live the Quran. Now, inshallah, I have given something to benefit today, which all praise is due to Allah. And if there's any errors, of course, I am responsible for. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan wa hab. Ameen.